The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Okay, I know you think it's Sunday. But it's Thursday afternoon. Good not morning. This is Thursday afternoon, and we are pre-recording this show, so do not call in. You are joining We the People Radio at KCNR 1460, Community Radio, Free Fire Media. The phone number, well, it doesn't matter because you can't call in anyway, so never mind.
I'm not going to rewrite all of our automatic scripts.
I know. I'm not going to give it to you. But jump on the chat room at wethepeopleradio.us because that will be alive and well on Sunday morning when this show airs. You are joining
True
your
statement.
Hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. And we have a guest in the studio today that we will be introducing shortly. But topic is a little dicey. but really important.
Yeah.
Super important.
Well, we're a good venue for those things that don't get out in the mainstream mm-hmm. media that people should know about but don't. And we have enough time to actually talk about it.
You know, it's interesting because if you listen to, neighbors, friends, acquaintances, family members, everybody, you know, sits in front of the TV and watches the news. And it's amazing how little of that I do anymore. I get all of my news on the internet. There's so many alternative news sources out there. I mean, literally, you find out things that you would never find out anywhere else. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, and you can always tell what people are listening to.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by the things that they're mad about, the talking points that they have.
Right.
It's amazing what a good job is being done, and sometimes it's a good, bad job, you know, and mm-hmm. I mean good necessarily beneficial, but what a masterful job they're doing at loading people up with talking points.
Right.
And
yeah, because those are the conversations you have with people. They just repeat what they saw in the news.
Kind of. And walking them away from the actual issues.
Well, I was having a conversation with someone recently who ran the Boston Marathon and wanted to get her take on it and had coffee with her yesterday. And the thing that I brought up was that the common thread between all of the violent acts against innocent Americans that have happened either internationally or domestically over the last year or 2 years have all been committed by young men. And my friend said, wow, I think you're right. I never thought about that. And
well, the only thing that would actually break the chain on these two young men is if they were not on medication of some kind. Because that's been another total common thread.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact that someone would not see that, would not realize that, was a little bit surprising
to me. Yeah, that was a newsflash for them?
That was a newsflash.
Well, here's another newsflash. I've started using it on my signature line on my email. We are not supposed to judge all Muslims by the act of a few crazies, quote-unquote, but the acts of a few American, quote-unquote, crazies is enough to judge all Americans who own guns.
And take them away.
I was like, that's an interesting point.
The hypocrisy and the double standard in so many things never ceases to amaze me. Never ceases to.
Kind of an interesting deal. So I guess with people, you know, you look around, it was a full moon this week. Never underestimate the power of the full moon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Full moon, you had the Boston thing, you had the fertilizer plant in Texas blew up.
Mm-hmm.
We just had thing after thing after thing happening, and, you know, people were a little bit...
Yeah.
People are a little bit edgy.
They get a little uptight.
That spilled over to the Tea Party meeting, I understand.
Yeah, do you think?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like, welcome... like, all right, everybody, back on your meds. I'm not a big fan, but I am today.
Yeah.
No, it's true, though. I mean, people really have to do a little bit of a self-check. It's like, hey, guys, mm-hmm. you know, this is not the time to melt down. Can you mm-hmm. imagine? I mean, you know, you think about things like Valley Forge, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's not the time to freak out and start running around and losing it.
No.
I mean, be sensible.
Yeah, this is the time to hold it together.
It also makes it really hard for people that are trying to get something done mm-hmm. to have people freaking out and, oh, you know, the president, blah, you know, and these people this. And
well, and it's funny
like,
because...
man, take a breath.
People think that if, if they go straight to the top and point the finger there, that it's magically going to fix everything, and that isn't the case. The problem, I mean, it does start at the top, but it's across the board in massive agencies and massive bureaucracies. It's not just one person, because we've had these issues before that person was in office and the one prior to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So stop pointing your finger at one individual and thinking that that's the magic fix.
Well, you know, honestly, in our topic today, it's all about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a call from Fish and Wildlife Service. They want to list three frogs on the endangered species list, so they were letting us know that they were going to be listed.
Frogs.
Yeah, I know. The yellow-legged frog and some other frog and some other frog. Three frogs. And I said, well, mark me down that I don't care if they're gone. the guy goes, oh. I said, no, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, jot it on your list there. Thanks a lot for calling, but we're not going to miss him, so, you know,
we're
not in.
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy goes, well, you know, don't you care about the species? I said, you know, really, no, because when you want to list farmers and ranchers and taxpayers,
mm-hmm.
great, we're in. Let's mm-hmm. list them. Let's make them endangered species.
Right.
Let's things
protect them.
That protect those folks.
Yeah.
And then let's worry about the frogs.
Yeah.
Because I'm just thinking we're not going to lose the whole earth because of the frogs.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I can hear the hating now. Aaron mm-hmm. at wethepeopleradio.us is my email. Don't call the radio station.
That's right. Because this is our opinion only. Strong as they may be.
The guy did send me the biological opinion.
We're not short on
which
opinions.
I didn't actually read. And I will, but I didn't. And I just sent a note back to him, and I said, well, thanks for the heads up. I'm going to make sure and get my cookbooks on eBay so that I can sell them before they're not worth anything.
Hey, have you ever had frog legs?
He wrote back.
They're super yummy.
He goes, disturbing but strangely funny. And I thought, good.
Nice.
You know, good. Come on over to our side.
Have you had frog legs?
No.
Oh, they're good.
Really?
They're really good.
Huh.
I hear they taste like chicken.
They do. Yeah. They're very tender.
See, chicken leaves a foul taste in my mouth, so I just mm-hmm. don't do it.
I like frogs, though. Frogs are fun.
I like the Budweiser frogs.
Yeah. Those are super cute. Hey, so we're all about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, and it's amazing how many things fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, and if it doesn't fit, we're fitting it.
And I want you to go to yeah, that's right.
It all fits.
We'll cram it into a box somewhere.
Exactly.
Go to wethepeopleradio.us. Everything about today's topic will be there. And we're going to be talking to Brad Dacus as well from the Pacific Justice Institute.
Yes, he should be calling us momentito.
He's going to weigh in on our topic today and also kind of fill us in on what's new with the Pacific Justice Institute. They've been on the show before, and then, you know, it's time for an update. And there's a link to every show that we've ever had. We're going on 3 years. It'll be, you know, we're 5-6 months away, but you can send out any one of those links individually, so no excuse to not send the non-mainstream media news far and wide.
Exactly.
No excuses.
And, you know, ideas for topics and stuff, we're always up for that. Things that you think people aren't hearing enough about, just, you know, stuff mm-hmm. that it would be good to get a full dialogue, or somebody that you have heard on a program.
Or wrote a book that you
Yeah, maybe you read
really
their
loved.
Book and you really like them.
Yeah.
So
there's tons of people out there doing a lot of hard work, not making a dime off of it. It's, you know, we've talked about this before. We've had a lot of authors on the show who have written about topics that are pertinent to what's happening in our world today, and they don't make a dime. Most of them are self-published, and they travel around the country speaking, and they sell a few books along the way, and I'm pretty sure it's just enough to cover their expenses. But these people really stick their neck out to get the word out. So, you know, if you know of anybody like that, give us a call or send an email, and we'll hook up with them. And
all right, so we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back. Hopefully we have everybody where they belong, and we can get on to our topic for the day. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. This is a pre-recorded show, but there's always lots of chatting online at wethepeopleradio.us. Join us there. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM.
And we are back. And who was that, Bob?
That was The Fray, How to Save a Life.
Okay. I wonder what kind of music you were going to come up with today. It'll be interesting.
He told me there was no shortage.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah. So you're joining We the People Radio, and we're with Mike Gonzalez today. And Mike is in the studio with us, lives in our area, and his story is a bit painful, but he's got a message that everybody needs to hear, whether you've got children or young children, teenagers, elderly folks in your family. It's kind of critical to listen to this and pass it along.
Absolutely.
And Aaron and Mike have been conversing now for a week or so.
We've been chatting about this potential legislation. You know, there are always, we always think, what do we hear from people? Oh, my gosh, you know, we've got so many laws. There's they're regulating everything. And then something comes along, and you go, what? There's no rule about that? That's allowed? That can't be right. So Mike has unfortunately experienced one of those gaps.
Yes, unfortunately.
In our legal system.
So Mike, go for it.
Go for it.
Fire away. You've told your story many times, I know, and you were on the radio with us a couple of weeks ago on a Monday, but
right. We
have more time now, so we don't have to we don't have to scurry. So give us some background.
Myself and my family live in Red Bluff and raised two girls there, been there for the last 20 years. My youngest daughter graduated in 2001 from Red Bluff High School, and she did quite well, very intelligent, outgoing, happy, always had friends, and she luckily won herself a four-year full-ride scholarship to Florida State University, which was a biggie.
Wow. And how
that's
did she,
pretty
how,
awesome.
How'd she get that? Sports? Music?
Brains.
Just brains.
Just
okay,
brains.
An academic scholarship.
Academic scholarship.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
So she was 3,000 miles away.
So she went straight from, graduated from high school to Florida.
Florida, right.
With no stops in between.
Right. So while she was there, unfortunately, she fell into depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
far away from support systems.
Exactly, and friends. And, you know, even though we were able to talk to her on the phone a lot, email her, go back trips as much as we can or could afford, we still didn't know that she was in this depression. And, you know, like a lot of the college students, they, with the stress of being in college, they fall into depression and don't make the correct choices on how to deal with this.
Well, they're just
they don't sleep right. They don't eat the same. All of a sudden, all bets are off.
Right. Yeah. Life is no. You know,
and they're so young.
Get rid of the friends. Yeah, they. At the time, Suzanne was 19. So instead of going to the Florida State counseling system, get help, professional help, she got online. And as she was, she got on the computer where she was comfortable with and started researching on how to kill yourself.
Oh, boy.
And she was that deep in depression. Life wasn't worth living for her.
But you know that wasn't the first thing she looked at. And I guess when you first told me this, the real big revelation I had was that you said, well, she went to a pro-suicide website.
Right. That's what she found.
I was like, there's a what?
Yeah. What's a pro-suicide website?
A pro-suicide website? And I guess there are bunches.
There are bunches of them. I don't know what the technical term, website, chat room, bulletin board, or whatever. But it's places where people advocate that killing yourself is some of them is God-given right, and you have the right to do it, and it's the only sure way to end pain of depression. And to that end, they support, these rooms support you and provide information, knowledge, step-by-step instructions on how to end your life. And this is accessible by anybody, any age.
Now, don't the individuals on the other end of the computer play along and befriend someone like your daughter, pretending that they too are depressed and they too are considering doing the same thing, and maybe you can do it together? And
exactly, they do. And as terrible as these rooms are to somebody that's in depression, it's kind of like, I used to be a fireman. firefighter, and it's like throwing gasoline on a smoldering fire.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put it out, you put water. You don't throw gas and flame
it. Right, sure. Right. And here we thought the worst thing for depression was like when people started drinking or doing drugs. Actually, you know, hanging out with other depressed people or people who take advantage of depressed people
exactly.
is actually far more dangerous.
Right. And as bad as these places are, the worst thing is people there that are solely there to stalk and target other individuals. Mm-hmm. And I call them, they are a predator.
Sure.
And I call them a suicide predator.
Well, they're an online serial killer.
Exactly. In my opinion, they are.
Yeah. So your daughter, was this in her first year of school?
Yes.
Okay. How far into school had she gotten?
Technically, she was a sophomore, but mm-hmm. it was still first year because she went through Shasta College up here in Reading and College Connection and excelled and got all these college credits already. So she was already in the second year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But she, you know.
But she'd been away from home for, what, 6 months, a year?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you have any clue that she was feeling this way? No signs?
Every time we talked to her, wrote her, went and saw her, she was always upbeat, happy. Things were going great. Her friends were great. And she had no worries. Even work was great. Mm. And then find out on the flip side of it, she didn't go to school for our last 3 or 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Did
the school notify you?
No.
Mm. Okay.
I asked them about that when it was... invasion of privacy on the
students. That's probably
part.
Another show.
That is another totally another show. Yeah.
This is all how if all the dominoes fall just right, really important things can just slip right through the cracks, and that's not really what we meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, privacy laws that way, when you don't tell a parent that a student hasn't been in school for 3 months, and people would say, well, she's 19, so
she's an adult. Right.
Maybe biologically.
But on the other hand.
Maybe on a driver's license, but not emotionally.
No, they don't have life experience at that time. So she was on the site, and she was targeted by a predator.
Mm-hmm.
And this person became her friend and just started to take advantage of her depressive state and becoming, he was telling her, yes, I understand what you're saying. I'm depressed. Also, I want to kill myself. Life is not worth living, and maybe we could do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, he became more and more of a friend. They confided in each other, and then he just started controlling her on what to do.
And didn't he pull her away from family and friends? And obviously, you had the physical distance between you, but didn't he ease her away from her support systems emotionally?
Right. It's kind of that mob mentality. Mm-hmm. You start saying something over and over, especially to a person in depression and feeling suicidal, you keep telling this person you're right, life's not worth living, you are worthless, all you can do is live a lifetime of pain. So why do it? Why
literally
put yourself through that?
Stoking the fire.
Exactly.
And don't tell the family because they'll talk you out of it. They'll just
don't take medications because it just makes you a zombie. Don't tell your family because that's why you're in this mess.
And they won't understand. And
exactly.
But this didn't happen quickly. I mean, this online, I mean, this isn't supposition. This was all ultimately revealed in online conversation.
It was.
So you had to go back and look at each little and just a real slow. Whoa. This wasn't two conversations. This went on over a period of how long?
3 months.
Interesting. Back and forth
and between this predator and the room, it was just you could see the change. Take away all hope. Take away any light at the end of the tunnel, and then provide them with how to do it. Specific instructions on how to do it. It takes all thought a way of surviving away. And this is what this predator does, and it just keeps building on it. He was so intertwined with her life on how to end her life and how to kill herself that he proofread her suicide note.
That's how much control he had over her.
That's how much control. He did it, and this is what he posted. He did it so that there was no mistakes and nobody could get information to stop her. He posted several times that, yes, I'm her friend, and I will help her. She chooses to die, and I'm going to help her kill herself. And in fact, he was online with her, talking to her, messaging back and forth up to the moment that she left her apartment to go to the hotel to end her life. So he knew her name, knew where she was at, knew what hotel she was going to, and what she was going to use to end her life. And all he did was celebrate afterwards that he was a true friend, that she needed to die, and he helped her.
Which makes him, in my opinion, an online serial killer.
Well, because they don't just kill one person. I mean, you had said there are others. I mean, obviously, there's more than one of these people.
Right.
But there was a guy had, like, six people he had killed or something.
Five.
Was he the Michigan guy?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay.
Yes, he was responsible for five deaths, and he was in contact up to 100 of trying to get them to end their life. And his thing was to watch them on webcam.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Didn't know that.
So, there are a lot of these predators out there from my talking to people up and down the state.
That's how you get away with murder, literally. Yes. I mean, legally get away with murder, right, which we'll talk about.
Huh.
And there's no laws that deal with this, and so they get away with it.
Absolutely.
And it's something that they know about it, and they take advantage of it.
Interesting. Yeah, they absolutely.
Criminals always know the law better than we do.
Yes.
Isn't that just about amazing? Mm-hmm. There are other facets of this as well, but we'll discuss that after the break. So we're here with Mike Gonzalez. We're talking about a potential legislation, and actually it has been run before, and it was called Susie's Law. So we're just going to refer to it as that going forward so that we can make sense of that for folks. You're here at We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
You must have been in a place so dark you couldn't feel the light, reaching for you through that stormy cloud. Now here we are gathered in our little hometown. This can't be the way you meant to draw a crowd. Oh, that's what I keep asking. Was there anything I could have said or done? Oh, I had no clue you were masking a troubled soul. God only knows the finest years I ever knew. For all the years I had with you, and I would give anything I own to give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again.
And we're back. You're joining We the People Radio. You know, I've told you before that Bob is extraordinary with the music and matches it to the topics of our show, but today you might want to pull out the Kleenex. And Bob, if Aaron and I ever hit the big time, you're coming with us.
I'm there.
Yeah, with the Kleenex.
Yeah, with the Kleenex. We're talking about a bit of a painful subject today. We're talking about online assisted suicide, which basically translates into online serial killers who know the law and know they can't be touched. And we're talking with Mike Gonzalez, whose daughter Susie received a 4-year academic scholarship out of high school to go to Florida State. Wonderful, talented, extraordinarily intelligent young woman who fell in depression, as many young people do when they leave their support systems for the first time. And rather than turning to family and friends, she went on the internet and found a suicide-assisted website, a gentleman who actually assisted her in committing suicide. And we're going to be talking about what we can do legislatively. And on that note, we have Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute on the line with us. And Brad just happened to be rolling into town just when we needed him today. So thank you for joining us, Brad. And I'm going to give the listeners a brief bio on PJI, and you've been on with us in the past. But Pacific Justice Institute is a nonprofit 501c3 legal defense organization specializing in the defense of religious freedom, parental rights, and other civil liberties. Pacific Justice Institute works diligently without charge to provide their clients with all the legal support they need. So, Brad, what's your take on what you've heard so far?
Yeah, it's really most disturbing that there hasn't been a prosecution of this individual. And, of course, I don't have all the facts, and I'm sure that there's the district attorney's office or someone has already looked into it. I just give a sort of an overview, though, of the law, because maybe you'll think that, First Amendment, free speech, that protects us to say whatever we want, whenever we want. And, of course, that's not the case at all. It's not an absolute right. There's qualifiers. And one of those qualifiers is to give speech that is directed and for individuals to commit a crime. So, like, giving an example, let's say they're at a big rally and they say, this president should be impeached, or the governor should be impeached, the governor should be removed from office, and it would be great if he died today. That would still be protected speech. They're just making their speech. But if they said at the rally, and right now I want us all to go to the governor's mansion and let's burn his house and string him up and kill him right now. Let's all do it right now. Let's go. And people went and did it, and he stood back and laughed, but they went ahead and did it. He would be guilty of the crime as well, or could be arguably guilty of the crime as well, because he gave direction, specific direction, for a specific act that was criminal, and that he had the intent to know that would cause that result. And that's sort of the standard that's usually used in assessing these actions. If someone, for example, gave on the subject, as far as the suicide hotline issue and all that's going on, if someone simply said, this is how different ways people can commit suicide, X, Y, and Z, that's informational. But if they say, here's, hey, George, I know you want to commit suicide. George, here's how you do it. And here's how it's easy, and here's how you accomplish it. And here's what you do. You do this. You do this. Then that person is across the line. He's not just being informational. He's providing information for a specific person to a specific crime, and that he is knowingly aware that he's enabling to happen.
Well, in Florida where this occurred. And you better you tell them than I tell them, but Mike went. They went all through the police. I mean, they really did their job back there.
That's correct. We were able to find out who this predator was. Gave that information to the local police department, and they looked at it for a very long time, and finally came back and told us, "We're sorry. We want to do something to this predator, but there was no laws that deals with this, and we can't." At that time, the Florida law was you had to be specific in the room with the person handing them the specific object to end their lives.
And you had hard evidence. I mean, you had all of the email correspondence,
yes.
all of the online conversations. So, it's a slam dunk.
And that was all that was provided, and they still were.
Yeah, and mind you, criminal actions, and this is just outrageous what took place. Criminal determination of what's criminal or not is based upon the state. There's some federal criminal statutes, but generally speaking, it's state laws, particularly dealing with capital offenses of like murder or assisted suicide. So you do have to look at the states, and if that's what Florida has for their state statutes, state law, that's a shame. They need to amend that, and I'm surprised that the legislature hasn't moved on that. I would hope that they would, especially in view of this terrible tragedy.
Well, part of what needs, what winds up being federal, I think, and this is where we needed a legal beagle, because we're just guessing. But if the person, like if this guy lived in Florida, the predator guy, and he's talking to somebody in Michigan, then their state laws, do they still apply, or does that have to be a federal thing, or how does that work, Brad?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. And the key is where did the crime arise? Where did it take place? Well, the crime would be what he did, what he said, that caused the result. And what he did and what he said was in the state of Florida. So therefore, presumably, it would be under the Florida statute that it would apply. However, it could potentially be prosecuted also in Michigan, depending on what the law is in Michigan. The law and criminal statute in Michigan may be broader than and include, and say, it's also, you know, anyone committing suicide in our state that was also assisted in another state, that person shall be prosecuted for assisting in a murder. So you could have theoretical prosecution in two states, but at least one of them would be sufficient.
What's the line that they cross? Because, you know, when you first hear this issue, at first after you get over the shock of finding out that there is something called a pro-suicide website, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you figure there's everything online, but I wouldn't have picked that. And then you find out there are these people, and then you start looking at it and you go, but then how do you regulate that with the internet? And then you get into the whole free speech thing. And so then what if somebody said something and someone else then took their life? Are you to blame for it? I mean, where do you cross over the line from free speech to yelling fire in a crowded theater, whatever that's called, the inciting to...
Yeah, and that's another exception too. When you take an action like the yelling fire in a movie theater, you're creating a substantial risk of harm.
There you go.
And you know, to people that you should reasonably be aware of that is gonna happen. You can have people running over people, et cetera. And so you know, as far as this goes, the key factor here is that these people are, and this they could write up this statute. In other words, it's it wouldn't be a violation of the First Amendment at all to have a state criminal statute that says that someone who over the internet or over the phone, for that matter, I would expand it and make sure it's broad, that provides information to enabling someone to commit a crime, and specifically suicide. And they provide this information knowing that it is for the purpose of to enabling a particular individual to commit the act of suicide, and that that there is a reasonable risk or likelihood that the person will carry out the act of suicide, that that they will be prosecuted for the crime of homicide, and whether they want to make it first degree, second degree, third degree, you know, murder or not, it's, you know, that's up to the them to work out. But I think it would probably fall under the second degree murder, probably as opposed to first degree murder. So,
and I'm wondering if the age of the victims has anything to enter into it, because these pro suicide websites and the people behind it are targeting anyone with vulnerabilities from the elderly down to small children.
Yes,
right. It's it is. Very sick, demented, and the sad thing is what was, you know, was just reported, the fact that states haven't moved on this. I think that's a real shame, and I think that's something that should sweep all 50 states and over the next 12 to 18 months. These kinds of statutes against these kind of individuals should become law, and they should be prosecuted and punished accordingly.
And I was going to say, easier at the state level than the federal level?
There could be a federal criminal statute as well. It's more difficult, and oftentimes to have federal criminal statutes, Congress is more hesitant at times to pass such laws, and some people are sort of hesitant of them playing that role any more than they need to. But because we're dealing with interstate issues and dealing with matters that are taking place on the internet, you know, it's well within the purview of the federal government if it wishes to enact such a federal statute.
Okay. Well, hang with us. We'll take a really quick break here. And when we come back, I'd like to know then how does it work with, because as you were talking about the states, I'm thinking, hey, wait a second. Didn't Oregon just make it, you know, ollie-ollie in free for people who want to help mm-hmm. kill other people?
And don't most federal crimes occur when you cross state lines?
Well, but, I mean, in Oregon, you know, they... Mm-hmm. The euthanasia and suicide and all that stuff, they just passed rules that they get to do that. Not cases. Anyway, that was editorial there. You are listening to We the People Radio. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees, learned of love and ABC, skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die.
How do you get that lonely?
Joining We the People Radio and tuning in. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. We're talking about online assisted suicide. We've got Mike Gonzalez, a gentleman from the North State who lost his daughter in 2003, a young 19-year-old woman who was full of life and promise and had gotten a full ride scholarship to Florida State. Once she left her support system, she fell into a depression and found an online suicide support group, which promptly assisted her in ending her life. And we've got Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute joining us for a legal take on any legislation that may or may not violate the First Amendment rights of the Internet. And we were talking about the differences between a Kevorkian-style assisted suicide where you're dealing with terminal illnesses and a predator, an online predator, targeting the vulnerable, the emotionally vulnerable. And that kind of opens up a can of worms in the state of Oregon. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a distinction to make insofar as, you know, when you have someone who's terminally ill and they're in the final leg of their life and they're going to be, say they have, you know, lung cancer and they're going to be choking to death over the next 7 to 14 days, and the doctor says, do you want to choke to death slowly over the next 7 days, or do you want us to increase your morphine level to take you out of this, you know, egregious misery? That's one thing, and that's actually, that is being implemented and utilized in all 50 states all across the country. When you're dealing with someone whose death is very imminent, and you're trying to make it as painless as possible, that's very different from situations where someone is terminally ill. They just don't want to, you know, live the next few years struggling with the disease, and so they just want to have themselves killed. That's where Oregon has stepped out and said they want to expand that to beyond people who are close to dying, and instead people who just simply want to kill themselves, who, you know, say are terminally ill and don't want to live. And I think that's very, very dangerous, because that inherently denies the value of human life.
Mm-hmm.
While the other is an act of humanity, this is an act of a selfish act of inhumanity for the individual, but also the many people around in their lives. And you look at this kind of stalking and this kind of assisting of perpetuating suicide. Frankly, I don't see as any less justified than terminating someone, you know, several years before their time is gone. In fact, I think it's even more diabolical, because there really is no medical or reason to even presuppose that they're going to be, you know, dying soon, and they could actually have a wonderful life ahead of them, like this young lady did.
Now, Mike, I'm thinking about looking at intent. This person actually taught your daughter how to acquire cyanide.
That's what we are led to believe, yes. From postings that he made online referring to other people that
Didn't he teach her that if she went to a jeweler?
No, she had to pretend to be a jeweler.
Yeah, she had to pretend to be a jeweler.
Because that was my thought was, what? How do you even get cyanide? I mean, where does it even come from?
And so they taught her how to pretend to be a jeweler so she could acquire cyanide.
Right.
So, Brad, how does that speak to intent?
Beg your pardon?
How does that speak to intent?
To intent? Yeah, if he's providing that information, knowing that she is not just doing a book report on it, but she's actually someone who has a likelihood of actually carrying it out the act, and has every and is in the context of asking for the information so that they can carry out the act. That's just as culpable in terms of intent as a terrorist calling a scientist and saying, I'm going to blow up a building. Can you give me information on how to build a bomb so I can do it? And the scientist gives the information. Well, that scientist would be prosecuted just alongside the terrorist in the same way. The same degree of culpability would stand as far as intent in this regard as well.
Interesting. So, so what's your sense of this? You know, if somebody's trying to make this an awareness for our whole, our country, because obviously the internet reaches across all the boundaries. So you think, okay, federal legislation would seem to be the logical way to go, but he has run into the same thing with this bill. For one, people don't want to talk about suicide. And for another, then they're worried about the regulation of the internet. So what's your legal sense of how, of a good way to go forward to help people without, getting into the rights violation?
Right. I think if it's crafted properly, there's not going to be an issue with regards to the First Amendment rights being violated. As we analogize it with other crimes where you have people assisting people in the committing of a crime, or it doesn't have to actually be the act itself. It could be the planning for the committing of a crime and giving instruction in that regard. This is the same thing. Killing their body is the same as planning to help them plan to destroy a building versus destroying their body. So I think that's really is no problem. I think it's really actually a matter of legislative will and intent. And so I think there should be attempts on both the state level as well as the federal level. I'm just a little cynical as far as the federal government right now getting much
really
Congress.
Brad, seriously?
No, Brad. They've been a pillar of efficiency.
Yeah, they they can't even at this point agree to allow there to be enough people, TSA people, so people can fly their planes properly. It's pretty pathetic. But I think that that it should be attempted on a federal level. There's wonderful congressmen that I'm sure that I know that would probably be willing to at least give it a go. And then, but we should not neglect the state level, because the state law and the state level is the general place historically where criminal statutes, the overall majority of criminal laws, criminal statutes are passed and enacted.
Yeah.
And I think that's an excellent starting point.
Hey Mike, have you ever talked to the California? Have you ever tried to push this through California legislature at all?
No, because it was always my understanding that it was best to go through the federal legislation because it tied all the states together. So, every state has a little different version of their assisted suicide laws in
sure.
their state. So what applies in one state doesn't apply to the other state.
But you know how it is with California. Whatever California does, the rest of the nation will follow.
Or they'll run away.
At least
from.
That's what they say.
Unwillingly, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, just based on what you're looking at in Sacramento, because you spent time there, what do you think? Do you think something like this would fly?
Well, with the legislators presently in the state, in the state Senate in California, and the governor, it's quite an interesting bunch of people. Politely?
They're kind of idiots.
I mean, some of the stuff that we're dealing with in the way of legislation that we're having to combat is just unthinkable and almost comical and absurd. So to say that they have enough common sense and to the majority has enough common sense to see it and for what it is and act responsibly. I don't think we can bank on that, but
it's a sympathetic issue, though.
We definitely need to try because the stakes are too high, and I think that this gentleman on your show bringing this out, bringing this to light, I think should inspire all of us to take that effort and take that initiative.
All right. Hang with us. We're going to come back with another segment from Brad. We need to get an update on Pacific Justice before he has to go.
Okay.
We are on We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
So long ago, I don't remember when. That's when they say I lost my only friend. Well, they said she died easy of a broken heart disease. I listened through the cemetery trees.
This is KCNR, Shasta
More
Redding.
More of We the People after the news on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
If you are just tuning in for the first time, you are in the second hour of We the People Radio, KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State, otherwise known as Free Fire Media. You are joining your hosts, Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. And if it's your first time tuning in ever, we talk about everything under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. Today we're talking about a rather sensitive subject. We've got Mike Gonzalez, who lost his daughter to suicide in 2003 due to an online predator that assisted her over the internet with that tragic event. And we've got Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute weighing in from a legal standpoint. And Brad, we know you have to go soon, so why don't you kind of give us some updates on what's happening with PJI?
We're looking at your PJI in the news, and I got to tell you, this is not
a lot of stuff.
This is not a good laundry list.
You're right.
Good grief.
Yeah, it is pretty outrageous, some of the things we're dealing with. I just feel, as far as the state law is concerned, state statutes, we try to combat those, and we think they're just way out of line with regard to religious freedom and parents' rights and reasonableness. And SB 323, it's pending for the state Senate, and it would ban any, well, actually what it would do is it'd take away the state tax exempt status of any nonprofit youth organization that refuses, including like Boy Scouts, 4-H Club, Young Life, you know, Youth for Christ, any of them, that refuses to hire self-professing and homosexual or transsexual youth leaders. It's going to majorly punish all of those organizations, we see that as a serious action by, and something that we'll be contesting in the courts if we need to. But we, but there's a good chance that could become law. Then there's another one right alongside it, AB 1266, and this says that that young people in high schools, elementary school, if a boy feels like a girl that day, then they're allowed to use the girl's bathroom, the girl's locker room, the girl's showers, yeah, play on the girl's sports team. Even though they haven't had a surgery or anything like that, there's nothing.
Mike's laughing. He hasn't heard of this before, and I could see he's having a flashback to high school going, hey, that might have been kind of fun.
I guess that's a great way for a boy to sneak a peek.
Oh, and there's a lot of young teenage boys that would take advantage of this. And even for those that really are having major, you know, gender identity issues, this is terrible legislation because it doesn't help them address the psychological state. It's not a biological issue at all. The American Psychiatric Association acknowledges that. It's purely psychological, and this doesn't help them reconcile their gender identity conflicts. It only makes it worse, and it's very irresponsible, and many in the psychiatric profession see it as very cruel and irresponsible as well. So these are two terrible pieces of legislation that are really going to be very harmful to youth in the long run. And
well, they never solve any problems.
Well, for heaven's sake. Okay, hi. They're busy arresting, what was the kid, a kindergartner who chewed up his Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun? But,
right.
Mm-hmm. But now we want, you know, boys in the girls' locker room and girls in the boys' locker room And it's like by the day, right? So it isn't like you have to file a paper or you've got to go to a class. I mean, that day you can just go marching on in because you feel like it, right?
Right.
Yes.
It's who they feel that they are is who they are.
that day.
And the other girls in the shower who see this boy, they just have to accept him at his word that he feels that he's a female and he sees himself as a female, and therefore they need to just ignore what they see and think of him as a female too. It's sort of like the emperor has the story. The emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, it's foolhardy and it's
that's a nice way to put it.
But yet these both have a very good chance of getting the majority of the votes in the state assembly and the state senate and the state of California. I mean, it's a laughing stock for the rest of the country, but we may very well have to deal with these if it becomes law.
And
we,
you know, the
Justice Institute can't stop it.
It just seems like so many of these things are targeting kids because as an adult, we can reason away a lot of things. But what are you going to tell these young girls in school? How are they going to handle a boy coming in and sharing the shower with him because he feels like a girl that day? I mean, how are they supposed to psychologically deal with that? I mean, what are they supposed to do? Nobody cares about them.
What about their rights?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely, that's
correct. That's what send your kids to school for?
You're absolutely right. If they wanted really just go out of their way and accommodate, they could say, okay, school needs to provide a place for them to change and use the restrooms that will not allow them to be exposed or mm-hmm. see other boys or girls, you know. But no, this all pushes them into, propels them into those terrible situations where the opposite gender is going to feel very much like their privacy is violated in a very mm-hmm. direct way, unthinkable way.
So this
there's going to be some very angry moms and dads out there. And these legislators are so out of touch with reality that I think they have a very good chance of passing because of the strong influence that that movement, the LGBTQ movement, has on majority party right now in control, which are the Democrats.
Now, this legislation does not mandate that they have specific restrooms and facilities set aside for this. It's just pretty much a free for all, and they can go in any bathroom they want.
Right. That's right. Well, no. If the boy who says he feels that he's a woman, a female, then he has to go into the female bathroom, the female locker room showers. Mm. He wouldn't go into the male. And once again, you know, it's not uncommon for, you know, to varying degrees, boys and girls in early adolescence in particular, you know, they work through their, you know, girls becoming women and boys becoming men and work through their masculine and male identity. You know, that there's to varying degrees, you know, some boys have more difficulty with that than others, and this legislation just thrusts them in the wrong direction that it could be very catastrophic. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, we talked about suicide recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this legislation, is only going to probably increase the risk of suicide for so many of these young people who are struggling with their gender identity by only creating greater confusion.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm sorry, but you know, let's just talk about the flat fact of it. Here, these people are completely freaked out about bullying. Yeah. I don't know. I'm the oldest of five kids. You know, bullying is what we did. That was how we communicated.
Yeah, that's how you had your fun.
Hitting was friendly. But you know, all joking aside, I mean, bullying is a fact of life for kids. And you know, picking on each other, making fun of each other, teasing, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. I can't imagine this is going to go well. I mean, if they're worried about that kind of thing, doesn't this just play right into the hands of the problem?
You're absolutely right. It definitely plays in the hand of the problem. It's sort of like what the California Teachers Association did, the CTA, not long ago. They underwrote gave a grant for a program that went into Redwood Heights Elementary School in the Oakland School District, and they transsexuals went into a classroom of kindergartners and first graders to tell them how you could be a boy on the outside, but be a girl on the inside, and that's okay.
Whoa.
You can be a boy, a girl, both, or neither.
No.
And that's exactly what they did. And it's insane. It's hideous. Well, you know, you have institutions like the California Teacher Association blindly supporting and underwriting these kinds of activities all the way down to the kindergarten, first grade level. These are public schools in California, and that parents need to be aware of that, and that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute, you know, we stepped in and we defended the parents who chose to opt their children out. Mm-hmm. But it's quite an ugly monster that's
its
ugly head.
Either these legislators are just absolutely stupid, or there's a much darker, sinister agenda behind all of this.
I'm concerned it may be the latter, yeah, not the former. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because it just keeps coming. I mean, it started a few years ago with some stuff that was pretty nutty. And now
it just makes me angry that they're going after the kids. These kids, when their parents are not there, they drop them off at school, and they're there for hours, and these kids are they're defenseless. They're completely defenseless.
Yeah, and the parents are super underrepresented.
And there's our opinion.
Yeah. That's why they make us have that disclaimer at the beginning part about the views on the show. But that's okay, because you know what? In this world, somebody better have some darn views. And actually, I think if people had views, mm-hmm, and we actually were able to say what we thought, mm-hmm, maybe people would get better at it and we'd actually solve some stuff.
Well, you know, they say if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah. The problem is if you voice it now, you're a hater. So I guess we're having that little hater break now. We need to thank our advertisers. Bob, are we good? Oh, we are good. Look at the music's coming. We'll be right back with you in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Okay, so we're talking about real bizarre stuff in the state of California. We're with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute, who unfortunately has to deal with that bizarre stuff every day. And we're talking with Mike Gonzalez. We'll get back to
Susie's law. But you know, I mean, these topics, we were talking about it on the break, they fit nicely together, mm-hmm, because here you have a girl who, and she's not the only one, but you have somebody who really loses their way emotionally and finds themselves in depression. Well, can you imagine? I'm just looking at this slew of stuff on your website, Brad. I mean, it just never ends.
Yeah, and there's actually something that became law that I think is definitely your audience wants to be aware of, that even is even a closer correlation. This new law, SB 1172, went into effect January 1st, it outlaws, prohibits anyone under 18 from getting any counseling. When they're struggling with same-sex attraction, it prohibits them from getting any counseling from any licensed counselor, even if it's a clergy that's a licensed counselor, when that counseling in any way steers them away from same-sex attraction or same-sex sexual conduct and activities. That became law. We at Pacific Justice Institute went into federal court. We got a federal judge to grant a preliminary injunction halting its enforcement against our plaintiffs. We just argued before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we're hopeful that the Ninth Circuit will allow that preliminary injunction to stand as it goes to a full trial on the merit later on this year.
Okay, so help me out, because this is just...
Well, they're just hell-bent on destroying anything traditional.
Right, and the real problem here is that here you have young people, many young people, they have strong, you know, religious moral convictions about something, and that makes them choose between going to a counselor that is going to give them counseling totally divergent to their underlying religious beliefs and convictions of right and wrong that they're struggling with, and say, your religion is terrible, deny what your religion believes, which makes them more unstable and more subject to depression and more in suicide, or they can go to an untrained, unqualified clergy to get counseling that may very well be very counterproductive because that person hasn't been trained in, on how to deal with these issues the same, and makes them, once again, more subject to, you know, quote-unquote failing and then seeing no avenue but suicide. So it's very inhumane, very cold-hearted, and very cutthroat in a very serious way. So that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute are fighting this and are very disappointed that we have so many legislators right now who push for this very cold-hearted legislation with regard to youth.
Oh, and here's another one. I just pulled up the Drudge Report. California bill would let non-citizens serve on juries.
Oh, that's terrific. That's a whole other problem, too. I mean, well, okay, so So to follow this counseling thing, because honestly, this is a great way to put a kid into a tiny box that only they are in. You know, if a kid got to a point where they thought, well, gee, I think I'm a boy and I like boys, or I'm a girl and I like girls, but that isn't how they were raised, and that wasn't particularly a family conversation just because it didn't come up, and they didn't feel like they could talk to their parents, they're not allowed to go to a counselor.
They're not allowed to go to a licensed counselor that will in any way steer them away from those feelings or same-sex attraction.
Because that's where that's where the rubber doesn't meet the road for me, because I'm thinking, okay, you go to a counselor, right? The idea would be that they would help you work through mm-hmm. what's going on, but now the counselor is prohibited by law from working through half of the option.
You're absolutely right, and it's dangerous because that may not be the right option for many young people, particularly those who have strong religious and moral convictions against the actions and the practices, and there's so many young people, especially in early adolescence, who are working through their sexuality and they often have confused, you know, they have curiosities and confusion and,
well, look what's on television.
Television. So
then movies and all
this
stuff.
Deny them the ability to get licensed counseling that they want. Maybe it's counseling also that their parents want, and maybe the psychiatrist wants to give them that. They all want this young person to have that counseling, and these legislators, inept, uneducated, unqualified, not a single one of them is a licensed psychiatrist, I don't believe, come down with this legislation that denies the whole concept of meeting individuals where they are and giving them the kind of individual counseling that they need based on their situation. There's also many different factors that come into play why young people may have same-sex attractions. Everything from, you know, their personality, temperament, or the lack of bonding with their father in a healthy way, or male bonding, or they were sexually abused as a child, mm-hmm. many different aspects of it. And this cookie-cutter approach says, no, this is how it has to be, and it's very disappointing, and there's going to be a lot of...
Well, and, you know, if this legislation was designed to support same-sex attractions, relationships, and so forth, this is going to come back and bite them in the butt, because... For all of those young people that do feel that attraction and do feel that they are homosexual and they're okay with that, but they still want to work through different issues. Maybe they want to work through issues with their family. Maybe they want to work through issues on how their friends are going to deal with this, whatever. They still can't get the counseling that they're seeking.
Well, it's like going to the doctor and the doctor's prevented from actually giving you medication that might help you. I mean, mm-hmm. it's against the law for them to do it. Huh. Well, that's brilliant. I mean, I can't believe. So now, when you take a kid, why would you take a kid to counseling? Because if your kid was in there talking to him, you know that if that's part of the discussion, they're mandated by law to lie to him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Clever. Oh, did we lose Brad?
Another disaster.
No, I'm here.
Oh,
another
disaster.
We were all just processing. Sorry.
Another disaster in the hopper.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because we're looking down the list on the things on your site, and a tremendous... What would you say that the bulk of your work is? Family-based?
It's all. Yeah, I think a lot of it right now is family-based, parents' rights, and things that are impacting youth. We have a lot of religious freedom cases, too, dealing with, you know, churches that are kept from being built, or even a synagogue back east that's being kept from moving in and renovating a building that it purchased, you know. So there's a great deal of problems on the religious freedom side. That without question, in California, the parents' rights and family issues are definitely keeping us very busy.
And so, how are you doing fighting the battles? How many are you winning?
Well, actually, on the religious freedom side, we're doing very well, very well.
Cool.
And with regards to the legislation, you know, we've only had we were able to get the preliminary injunction against SB 1172, which many people thought was, you know, unthinkable, that we'd get a federal judge to grant an injunction against the state of California, and their legislature with regard to new law. That's very difficult to do. So that's very encouraging, and hopefully we'll see SB 323 and AB 1266, prevented from becoming law, so we don't have to fight in the courts. But make no mistake, we at Pacific Justice Institute are committed to defending without charge what is necessary with regards to the rights of parents and families, and when their rights are being taken and disturbed by those in government power.
And all your work is pro bono.
That's right. We don't charge for our work, and that's because of, I know many of your supporters out there and people who listen to this broadcast that believe what we're doing and are part of our team and support our work as a nonprofit.
And so we can go to the Pacific Justice, PacificJustitute.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're greatly appreciative of people who choose to become either one-time or monthly supporters. That's a big benefit to us right now. We're taking on some major giants, and we greatly appreciate those who are willing to stand with us to make this possible.
Yeah, because your site is super easy, pacificjustice.org, and under the Give button, you can donate monthly, you can donate one time. I mean, shoot, even $10 a month, it'd add up over time with a lot of people.
And are you other states as well?
Become an affiliate attorney, and then looking for interns and volunteers. So there's a lot on here, as well as just, donations, and there's information about radio. And I got to tell you, Brad, you kind of saved our hide today. We had to pre-record this program, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, we're talking about a super sensitive personal rights issue that involves kids and parents, but it's old people, it's across state lines. I mean, it's like, my dad wanted me to go to law school years ago. I was like, oh, I can feel my dad going, see, I told you so. So when you called back and said you could jump on with us, man, we were thrilled.
It was time to catch up with you.
I appreciate
your radio program, and I'd love to participate in the future as needed.
Yes, we'd like to do one, specifically on all these cases. So when you get to a point where you you want to spend a Sunday morning with us and talk about this, we are into it. I think there's, good Lord, PJI and the news, just that page alone is enough for days and days. Well, yeah. I know you have a talk to do tonight, so I'm kind of guessing maybe you need to get ready for that.
Yeah, I think I do. But I, once again, thank you so much for the opportunity, it's a real privilege to participate, and I appreciate you guys being a foothold for truth to be shared over the airwaves and to really challenge people out there to get involved and to make a real difference for their children and grandchildren.
Mm. Well, we really Absolutely. Appreciate it, and I know Mike's looking for a way to get this legislation back up on the. Back up on the boards. And so this was a great way for us to explore options to actually help him. So.
Thank you for your words.
Yeah, and thank you, sir, for all you're doing to help so many out there that are going to need this assistance.
Thank you. And who knew, huh? What a horrible thing to need help with. Oof. Thank you so much, Brad. All right, have a great talk tonight. Enjoy Reading. And we will chat with you later.
Have a good one, Brad.
You too. Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A million.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to thank our advertisers. We'll be back. We're pre-recording, so we've totally lost track of where we are in the program, but we have more time. We just don't know how much. See you in 2 minutes. You're here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
When a little fun that lives, my friend, you could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would understand. I would understand.
We're back. We're talking with Mike Gonzalez. He and his wife lost their 19-year-old daughter in 2003 to internet-assisted suicide. She was targeted and manipulated by an online predator who basically walked her to the edge and helped her commit suicide. And we spent quite a bit of time with Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute talking about the legality
of internet-assisted suicide and its implications to the First Amendment. And now that we've covered that, let's get back to the emotional part of this, Mike. You and your wife, after this incredible tragedy, could have gone either way. And the way that you decided to go was to step out, step up, and educate people everywhere you could about what's out there on the internet and how vulnerable so many people are.
Yes.
But also you talked about the fact that it took you and your wife some time before you could pull it all together.
We lost Suzanne 10 years ago. And ever since that day, we found out it's been a struggle day by day. We just take a day at a time. As I was telling you off break, my wife, she didn't come out of the house for 3 years. Did not want to go out in public. It was a struggle for her. Just she was in deep depression herself. And it took time for us to process what happened, how this, my daughter took her own life, but a predator was involved, and that we couldn't do anything about it.
And not to get off topic here, but you had mentioned that there was a police officer in Florida that worked on your daughter's case, and even though you had indisputable evidence about who this person was, where they lived, where they worked, there was nothing you could do legally because of the fact that it was the internet.
That was correct.
And did that police officer leave the police force and walk away from his career because he felt if he couldn't do anything about that,
What they told us was he was so upset that he couldn't do, nobody could do anything to this predator that he left the force. Mm. And that had a profound impact on me.
Sure. Sure. That's a huge, you look at it and in a way it's nice to have somebody who at least is as frustrated as you are.
Right.
I mean, it's good that someone was that invested. That's, it wasn't like you got blown off by the police department, but at the end of the day, it's a stone wall. You're still nowhere. And there are all sorts of, suicide is a trick topic. People don't want to talk about it. So many people have been impacted. And it's a scary thing.
Very scary.
Even if you haven't been impacted, people, it's kind of like, if we don't talk about it, it isn't really real. It's not coming to our house. There are a myriad of emotions and problems with that. So,
well, then a lot of
people get blame. It's a child, so then people look at you, and it's like, oh, what did you do? And people don't mean but they get scared, and they do stupid stuff.
And so many parents send their kids off to college, and it's the first time that these young adults have been away from their support system. And that's something that I think people need to be aware of, is that there's a lot of young college students that are very vulnerable and susceptible to this. So how did you and your wife, how did you finally come to a point where you decided to do everything that you're doing now? And in addition to that, what are some of the events that you've got? And do you tie it into May, which is national? Is that national?
Oh, yeah. National Mental Health
Month.
Okay. That's right. That's why we wanted to do this right now, is because we're now learning.
So let's talk
mental
about
health month.
Proactively and what people can do and how you came to the point. You didn't fall apart. Instead, you pulled together and you're helping other people.
Right. Well, it started out with, once we found out we couldn't do anything legally, we decided to change the laws. And that's when we went to our then Congressional Representative Wally Herger, and he came up with this bill. And once I started talking about that, then our national organization, the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, heard about it and invited me to come down to one of their Out of the Darkness suicide prevention walks. This one was in Los Angeles. So I went down there, and they invited me to speak and tell what happened, what I was doing with this bill. And from that, that's been 8 years ago. And from that time on, I've been basically a suicide prevention advocate, going to events, a lot of the darkness walk up and down the state to talk about what happened to my daughter, what we're doing, and what people should be aware of, that this danger is out there, and then they can do something. The more knowledgeable they are, the less effective these predators are. And that has led me to bring up to North State to bring programs up here. Like you said, May is Mental Health Month. One of the things we're doing May 1st in Red Bluff and Chico, and hopefully if I can find somebody here in Redding, is a new program called, it's a Bipolar Awareness Day event that will raise awareness about bipolarism and how much people are affected by that are suicidal and depressed. And that's going to, it's a free event. And one in Red Bluff's going to be at noon. And the one in Chico's, that would be on May 16th. That's going to be in the evening.
And so where would they find out about that? Like if they were out of the area and looking for something in, because I, and the reason I ask, I looked up, I just did a little search online. Mm-hmm. I looked up Out of the Darkness. That's all right. I put in, Out of the Darkness, and I get 29 or 26 million hits. Mm-hmm. So obviously this, and I'm looking at them all over Wyoming, mm-hmm. Out of the Darkness, right. Community Walk. They're everywhere.
Everywhere in every state.
Who knew?
There's through, I forget the number right now, but there's walks, multiple walks in every state. Mm-hmm. In California alone, there's 12 or 13 okay. walks, and it's growing.
And you had told us that you met somebody. That was kind of what pulled you out of the darkness. I mean, it's right. a great name, actually. Met somebody.
I credit this organization with helping me. It's part of my therapy to me, talking about it. I'm not holding it in. And it helps me to go out and talk to people and tell them what happened and not hold it in and let that fester inside of you. And like May 9th, first time ever here in Reading, is going to be the Shasta College Campus Walk.
Good. Which on the is college campuses.
On college campuses. Now, that holds a special place.
Now, when you do these walks out of the darkness, do you just focus on suicide prevention, or do you weave in these online predators into the conversation?
They talk to me. I weave it in. The walks itself are geared towards suicide prevention, the resources that are available in the area, and how to access them. And just reach that subject of you are feeling depressed, and you are feeling suicidal, you can go get help. It's okay to talk about it. Don't listen to other people, especially online groups and predators, that say, no, don't go to anybody else. Listen to us.
Exactly. Because, see, now here's this page, outofthedarkness.net. I'm assuming that's...
It should be outofthedarkness.org.
You can go... I got a .net.
There's a
.net. And they don't sound bad, so it's like, ooh.
Go try campuswalks.org.
Okay.
Good.
It's all part of the American Foundation Suicide Prevention.
And do you target parents that have college-age students so that they have an awareness
yes.
of what their students may be doing when they're far from home or what they may be susceptible to?
We invite everybody. This is another free event. We don't charge anything for people to come out and walk and find out information. Even though it's the Shasta event, campus walk is a campus walk, the community is invited and encouraged to attend to find out what is going on, especially for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're there.
Because it's all great to talk about college students and stuff, but when we come back, this touches a whole range of people.
Yes.
So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with Mike Gonzalez. We are talking about Out of the Darkness. It's a good thing here. I'm glad we're getting a little smarter here at We the People. We're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State.
When your day is long.
I told you to have tissues handy. Mike, you're strong. It's got to be tough for you to listen to the music.
It has been.
Hey, when you're out talking to people and you're doing the walks and you're giving the speeches and you're going to the schools, have you had any other parents that have approached you and said that something similar happened to their child, as did happen to you and Susie?
I've had a tremendous amount of people come up and tell me similar stories of what happened to my daughter from their kids or friends, husbands, co-workers. That's how I'm bringing this up. The predators, there are many predators out there because these are happening. 10 years after my daughter's death, news stories are still coming up, and people are telling me about it at these events. But they don't know how to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
And they tell me because now, look, there's somebody else that knows what I'm talking about, and they can come up and tell me. And
you know, since we're talking, you know, the internet and social media, I really encourage people, when you listen to this show, if you are listening online, then you're at least comfortable with a computer. You need to copy the link to this show, and you need to send it out far and wide. And if you're on Facebook, you need to add it to your Facebook page and share it. Mm-hmm. Got to get the word out.
Yes.
This is a really great venue. I mean, Carl and Linda are awesome. They mm-hmm. don't we don't have to submit our topics or have them approved or get them edited, or, you know, we're never told we can or can't mm-hmm. do things. So we really have the ability to talk about things that really don't oftentimes get covered or don't get covered in the type of depth they need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something while we're talking about the topic of suicide, someone brought this up to me the other day. They said, well, you know, that really fits in with the whole Agenda 21 problem.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
for people who are thinking, well, they took a departure from, like, their political stuff, really doesn't.
No, because part of Agenda 21 is
depopulation,
is to start thinning the crowds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have lots of these major players
mm-hmm.
that expect to have the Earth reduced by a 90% factor of folks on it, mm-hmm. and that's what's going to save the planet. We're going to get rid of the people,
and
so
not,
this plays right into
and not to detour
their hands.
Completely off track, but this whole issue with same-sex marriages, attractions, relationships, you're going to have less procreation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this in a really, I guess it's not really a weird way. It's only weird for us that are normal, just mm-hmm. trying to live mm-hmm. our lives. But, you know, to kind of get into the mindset of the creepiness, you know, I'm looking at this webpage. It says out of the darkness, and I'm thinking, okay, but if you get back into the darkness and you look at it from their angle, this stuff all plays together. Mm-hmm. And you've told me that some of these kids who are they trip the trigger of a predator online mm-hmm. in a suicide chat room. And this, some of these kids, you've said, are as young as 6 years old.
Right.
Yeah, it's not just college-age students.
No, it goes from a whole age gambit from the six-year-old. That's the youngest I've heard of a parent come up and tell me that their child took their own lives. And this one was hung himself, and they found his computer on the page of giving instructions how to tie the rope.
Yeah, they give explicit directions
yes.
on
and
it.
Some of it is video. You said too. They're on a video chat.
Right.
So you know, this isn't an accidental thing. This isn't a compassionate thing. This is just a sick serial predator thing.
Yeah, it's somebody that would probably like to murder people, but this is so much easier.
But this is so much better because you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right now,
they know there's no laws that deal with it, so they can
mm-hmm.
do it in mm-hmm. immunity or impunity.
Well, and then you have, you know, people like you and Mary and your other daughter who have to live with the aftermath of this. Meanwhile, you have this person that you know walked your daughter up to the edge and pushed her over, and they're online celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrating.
He's done it afterwards. So I was contacted by a young lady, another 19-year-old depressed, suicidal lady, and same motive. Friends over time, he finally said, you know, when you're ready to kill yourself, I have some extra chemicals that I bought for myself, and I'll send it to you for free. And when he did that, that just tricked her into reality. And
oh, like, that's nice.
Oh,
yay.
My God, and let me know about it. And
mm-hmm.
this guy, but the point is, he's still out there, along with many others, out there doing this, preying on the most vulnerable.
And in a good way, you were able to be a safety net for somebody else's child. But I'll tell you what, if none of us have learned anything, I think you just can't underestimate what's going on out there. I think people are always worried their kids are going to get grabbed by a sexual predator.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they really are warning their kids about. Look at these chat rooms and this and that, and watch out for that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, there's a whole different batch of them, and they don't have to be there. That's the kicker, the power of that, that time spent online, you know, drawing in and drawing in. And these people are masterful.
Sure. Well, most predators are. They're very skilled at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And even today's technology, you don't have to be home sitting on your computer. Mm-hmm. You're on your phone.
Oh, that's true, too. And a lot of it can be voice activated. Yes. So even if you're kind of a dope and you can't type very well, I mean, you know, it's all voice activated. So for people out there that are thinking, gee, you know, my kid's kind of acting weird, or my mom or my grandma, because you said there are people in up into their 90s that have also been part of this, what would be your advice to them?
You need to start talking to them. Open up that, you know, the old line, that line of communication. And you ask them what's going on, if they're feeling sad and are thinking of things, if they're thinking of hurting themselves, if they have any plans on doing it. And just look into what they're doing. And if they're, you know, young kids, look online, look at the history that they're leaving behind on their computer.
Yeah, because a lot of times people feel like their kids have privacy rights. It's like, no, they don't.
No.
Go spy on them.
They have a right to live.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd
be the parent.
Well put. Be the parent for a change.
Yeah. Well, and what you told me the first time I met you was it was a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I thought, huh. Yeah. No, you know, no better phrase was ever uttered.
And with today's shows and movies, young kids, you know, I'll go kill myself and I'll wake up in the morning and start over and have fun again.
Yeah, exactly. Just
they
like
don't
TV.
Know the finality of it.
Yeah, they don't realize it's final.
Right.
So, Mike, where can people find you?
You can call me. I don't know, can I give my phone number?
Absolutely.
That's totally
entirely up to you.
I have my phone number out. I advertise to everybody. It's my cell phone. It's 530-520-6696. Or you can go online. I have a website that explains what happened to my daughter at suzyslaw.com.
Okay,
and that's spelled SUZYSLAW.com.
It has last year's legislation, which needs to be updated. Soon as I find a willing representative to write legislation, either in federal or state level, I will be updating that and letting people know.
And Mike, put a media page or media link on your webpage now, so that people realize that you can go public with this.
Yes,
that if they have radio programs themselves and they want to cover this, they can click on the link. And folks,
and the Out of the Darkness walk in at Shasta College.
Shasta is May 9th.
At what time?
Check in and registration from 8 to 9. The program starts at 9 and we should be done by 11.
Okay, and for more information, go to wethepeopleradio.us.
And we'll post it all there.
Everything about today's show will be there.
Absolutely. Great job, guys. See you next week. Thank you, Mike,
for coming in. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Elizabeth, for handling a topic that touches virtually everyone.
Another fantastic music.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I outdid yourself on this one.
Don Shulman up next at KCNR Shasta Reading.
Open your heart and your mind. Mm-hmm. Is it really fair to feel this way inside? Oh, some days somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Until then,
you can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
This is KCNR Shasta Reading.
Sooner or later, gotta put you down. Sooner or later, gotta put you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
I've been loving you too long to stop. stop now.